You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 4 in our series, Seizing Your Divine Moment. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here is Pastor Sten with this week's message.
It was on June 18th of 1971 that the founder and current CEO of FedEx, Frederick W. Smith, founded the company Federal Express with just $4 million of his inheritance. And the company was based on an idea that he wrote about in a term paper in 1965 while he was an undergraduate student at Yale. And the idea was very simple: create a company that could deliver a package overnight to anywhere in the world. Seems pretty obvious to us today, but at the time it had never been done, so it was a pretty groundbreaking vision. And Smith would soon raise an additional $91 million in venture capital so that his vision could come to life. Unfortunately, 3 years after the company began, because of rapidly rising fuel costs, FedEx was on the verge of bankruptcy, losing about $1 million a month, with no one willing to give them any additional loans and with zero investors interested in contributing any capital. And so FedEx reached a point where their company's bank account had only $5,000 left, and they could not afford to refuel the planes that delivered FedEx's shipments to anywhere in the world, just as they had promised. And so Fred Smith, he made a final pitch to General Dynamics for more funding. It was a pitch that was ultimately refused, leaving FedEx more or less dead in the water and their planes grounded for Monday's deliveries. But Smith refused to surrender. On his way home from that pitch to General Dynamics, he took a little detour to Las Vegas. See where this is headed? He took the last $5,000 and he placed the company's only remaining money on blackjack bets over the weekend. And he won an additional $27,000. Now, everyone would admit, even Smith himself acknowledged, that this wasn't a huge win for a company losing $1 million a month. But a total of $32,000 now was enough to refuel the planes on Monday morning and keep the business running for just a few more days. And after just a few successful days of business, Smith successfully managed to raise $11 million to keep the company afloat. And by 1976, Federal Express had reached $75 million of revenue. 2 years later, the company went public, and by 1983, FedEx reported $1 billion in revenue. And in just 2019, they reported $69.7 billion of revenue. And Fred Smith has a personal net worth estimated at $3.9 billion. If he had given up, and if he hadn't rolled the dice literally and figuratively, there would be no FedEx as we know it today. Smith himself was quoted saying this about his crazy venture. He said, "No business school graduate would recommend gambling as a financial strategy, but sometimes it pays to be a little crazy early in your career." Now, here's the deal. No pastor would recommend gambling as a financial strategy either, or even as a hobby for that matter, and I am not doing that here today. I'm in no way endorsing this kind of activity for you or for me. But if we were just able to put the gambling aside and the blackjack aside, what we see in this story is that Fred Smith was willing to take a risk, and it paid off big time. And today, in the fourth week of our current message series, Seizing Your Divine Moment, I want to suggest for you and for me too that we very well might need to take a risk somewhere, sometime, somehow in our life if there is going to be a payoff in our life or in our faith, and if we are going to do the things that God has called us to do and become the people that God has called us to be. And that is exactly what this message series is all about. Right? It's a six-week series where we have been following the story that's recorded in one short chapter of 1 Samuel 14. It's a story of Jonathan's divine moment. Jonathan was the son of Israel's first ever King Saul, and rather than inheriting the throne someday, as we might expect the son of a king to do, Jonathan was actually passed over, and the throne was promised to someone else. But what we see playing out on this short but jam-packed section of the Bible is that Jonathan is anything but a loser rejected by God, and he refuses to let his circumstances, however disappointing they may be, he refuses to let those circumstances dictate his future. And so seemingly at a moment's notice, he takes bold and daring and decisive action out on the battlefield at a time when no one else would, and at a time when no one would have expected anyone to do so either. And here's the spoiler alert. Because of his daring plan, he rallies the entire nation of Israel to an improbable victory over their enemies. And what happens is this: every move he makes and every word he speaks fills out his spiritual resume and what some refer to as the Jonathan factor, which is what we have been putting under the microscope in this series, because this is something, the Jonathan factor, is something that I'm praying each of us would embody as well, so that we too might seize the divine moments that come our way, and that we too might step into the life that God has planned for us. And so at the moment that we pick back up in this story today, we're going to see Jonathan take a huge, huge, huge risk. And as a result, we're going to learn something I think really significant about the lives that we are living and the risks that we are willing to take. And we're going to look at this because I think seizing our divine moments very well may depend on it. So what I want to do here, because I suspect we have a lot of visitors who have not been here up to this point in the series, I want to get everyone up to speed as quickly as I can about what we have covered so far and what's happening at this moment. God's people, the Israelites, are in an ongoing conflict with their enemies, the Philistines, and they are incredibly, incredibly outnumbered and outgunned, outsorted, because I don't think they had guns back then, right? So they're outnumbered. And they're quite scared, actually. And under King Saul's leadership, or lack thereof in a way, they're camped out, kind of sitting on their hands, camped out, hiding under the cover of a big giant pomegranate tree. And that's when Jonathan seizes the moment that is in front of him. Let me read to you what we've covered so far and what it is that we've learned along the way, just to get everyone up to speed. Here's 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. It says this: "One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer," and here's the four words in week one that we said set every divine moment into motion. It's the four words that separate a moment missed from a moment maximized. Here's what he says. He says, "Come on, let's go. Let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost." The picture this paints for us is one of initiative. And in the first week of the series, what I wanted us to understand is that God honors initiative. If we're going to be the people that God has called us to be, there has to be a point in our life or a particular place in our life when we say to ourselves or to those around us, "Come on, let's go. We cannot put this off any longer. Now is the time." God honors that kind of initiative in life or in faith or in marriage or in relationship or in family and beyond. And so Jonathan then makes this plea one more time, and then he tacks on this confidence building statement that we read in verse 6, and we read it just 2 weeks ago. He says, "Come on, let's go." And then here's what he says: "Perhaps the Lord will help us." Come on, let's just, you and I, just the two of us, let's go pick a fight with a couple thousand, you know, trained and armed soldiers. Perhaps God will help us. Okay, perhaps, I said, is an adverb used to describe possibility or uncertainty. It's not quite the conditions that I prefer in, you know, in times of, you know, of battle or danger even, and yet it appears to be the very conditions that Jonathan seemed content with. And so I suggested to us in week two that at times we need to learn to be content with uncertainty as well, that we need to, in fact, believe in the miracle of uncertainty, because the truth is uncertain circumstances are simply invitations for you and for me to become more certain of God in our lives. Uncertainty is not an indication for us to turn back around or to shut the whole thing down. It's simply an invitation to become more certain of God. It's the uncertain moments that our faith has an opportunity to grow. It's so pivotal, but I get it. It's scary nonetheless, which is what makes the armor bearer, Jonathan's armor bearer's response so fascinating. Haley read it for us just last week. When most would have said, "You're crazy," or, you know, "Come back, you know, when you're a lot more certain of your idea, or when you have a lot more troops, you know, in your corner," Jonathan's armor bearer says something quite different. Here's what he says in verse 7. He says to Jonathan, "Do what you think is best. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide." More literal translations say, "I'm with you heart and soul." And this paints a picture for us of the difference between authority, which is not necessarily or inherently bad, but it paints the picture between authority and influence. The difference between authority and influence. And influence is far more powerful, and it appears to be what Jonathan has. And I think it's what we will need to have if we're going to seize our divine moments too. Haley wanted us to understand that authority might change someone's behavior, but ultimately influence has a way of changing and piercing and speaking straight to someone's heart and to someone's soul. And the challenge for us is to live our lives in a way that people around us would respond in the very same way. "I'm with you, heart and soul." That's the armor bearer's response. He's all in. He's going to go where Jonathan says to go, and he's going to do what Jonathan says to do. And so here is what Jonathan says to do next. It's so important that we see this and that we understand this if we're going to experience the divine moments in our own life. Armor bearer says, "I'm with you, whatever you decide." And then here's verse 8. "All right then," Jonathan told him, "we will cross over," don't miss this, "we will cross over and let them see us." The Philistines, their enemies, the guys on the other side of the battlefield. "We'll cross over and let them see us." Now, I'm not a military expert. I have never been to West Point. To be honest with you, I was never even in the Boy Scouts. But I don't think it takes a genius to realize that this is really, really, really terrible military strategy. I'm pretty sure "let them see us" is the exact opposite of what any unit is trained to do. I don't know the technical lingo, but I'm guessing most operating procedures in a situation like this sound a whole lot more like, "let's sneak up on them. Let's hide in the shadows. Let's maintain radio silence, and let's attack with the most stealth and precise and unpredictable strikes as possible." Okay? When you are outmanned and when you are, you know, outnumbered, you don't just come out for everyone to see you. Your only hope in a moment like this is to remain virtually invisible. But here's why Jonathan, in his life and his thinking and his actions, here's why it's so worth paying attention to. Jonathan seemed to know that this particular engagement, it was not a matter of human strategy and of human calculation. I think he knew something so much bigger, something truly divine was on the line. He knew who God was. He understood the consequences of his action and the risk that he was about to take. And so in a sense, he was creating an opportunity, taking a risk and creating an opportunity for God to bring about the victory that he had already promised. And so I think Jonathan's risk here to say, "let's step out, let's let them see us," I think his risk demonstrates something for you and for me that we need to think about in our own life, if we're going to seize the divine moments that God has promised us. What we see in this story, in this response of Jonathan's is this, that oftentimes it's the risk that we're willing to take that's going to determine the progress that we make somewhere in our life. It's going to be the risks that we are willing to take that's going to determine the progress that we make in some area of our life that is significant. This appears to have been the case for Fred Smith and FedEx. And I think it's the case for you and for me too, in career or in life or in marriage or in relationship or in recovery or in faith and in spiritual life. Right? If you are going to make progress somewhere, if you are going to take a step forward somewhere, if you're going to claim some kind of new spiritual ground somewhere in your life, I think it's most likely going to depend on a risk that you are willing to take. It's going to depend on how willing you are to let yourself be seen. Because I really believe that divine moments will require us. These kind of divine moments will require us to move from the invisible to the visible. Right? I do not think that we will do the big things that God has in store for us if we don't ever allow ourselves to be seen fully. Take a risk. When Erica and I, you know, decided that we want to be a part of this church planting thing to start a new church, our coaches told us, we had coaches working with us through this process. Our coaches told us that in the early years of the church, the hardest part of the process would be the fact that there is nowhere for you, for us to hide. They said there's going to be no history of the church. There's going to be no church board at the time. There's going to be no staff on day one. There's going to be no tradition. There's going to be no, well, this is how we've always done it here at this church. And so at all times in the first few years when you open the doors of this place, they told us everyone will know that everything Midcurrent does or says or thinks or decides is solely what Sten and what Erica want or what they say or what they think or what they decide. Our coaches said you will be constantly exposed from all sides with nowhere to hide. And as scary as that sounded and as true as it turned out to be, I think that we knew deep down inside that we wouldn't make progress any other way. I think I knew that I wouldn't make any progress as a pastor or as a leader. I think I knew that we wouldn't claim any new kind of spiritual ground here in a way that we wanted to unless I was or more of us were willing to let ourselves, unless I was willing to let myself be seen. I think deep down in my heart, I knew that the risk that I was willing to take was going to determine the progress that I and that we make for the sake of God's kingdom here in the St. Croix Valley. At the end of the day, I think the very same thing is true for you. There's going to be a time, there's going to have to be a time and a place where you let yourself be seen. There's going to be a time and a place where the risk that you take is going to determine the progress that you make and the growth that you experience and the reward that you receive in the end. The challenge with all of this is this, right? Too many of us, I think this is probably true for some of us here today, some of us tuning in online. The truth is too many of us live our lives making sure that we are never seen. It's far too easy to live life and to not be seen. Too many of us, if we were honest, we prefer a cloak of invisibility. We call it by another name, you better believe it. We call it something different. We call it normal or average or compliant or predictable or safe or responsible. But make no mistake, the result is the same, right? We choose so often to remain anonymous and unseen. We choose to sit on the sidelines. We choose to remain uninvolved and indifferent. We never try anything that makes us even slightly uncomfortable. We never show our cards and we never open up our hearts to look inside or heaven forbid, let anyone else look inside our heart either. The problem with this line of thinking is this. So many people in the world today, and this might be true of you, so many people in the world today do want to experience the divine. So we're talking about experiencing divine moments. So many people in the world today do want to experience the divine. We want to experience God's miracles, and we wonder sometimes why we don't see God perform more of them around us. But the reality is we live our lives in such a way as to avoid ever needing them. And the result is that we don't even scratch the surface of the life and of the adventure and the thrill and the freedom and the intimacy and the influence that God intended for us to experience. And so the question that I want to ask you today is this: where is it? If you think about your life, think about some of the steps you want to take right now, where is it that you need to let yourself be seen? What risk do you need to take right now in your life or in your relationships or in your marriage or your family or your faith? Is there an apology, a risky apology that you need to make? Or maybe there's a phone call that you need to place, or maybe there's a relationship that you need to leverage, or a person in whom you need to invest. Maybe there's an invitation that you need to extend to someone, to a potential mentor for coffee, or to another family for dinner in your home, or to a friend or a coworker to join you at church. Or maybe there's a prayer that you need to pray or a heart that you need to open. All I want to say to you, to all of us, is let's take a risk. Let's let ourselves be seen. Just a little bit more. Let's become maybe just a little bit more vulnerable than we normally would. I think the divine moments in the life of adventure and thrill and freedom that God has planned for us very well may depend on it. This past week, close here with a few final thoughts. This past week, I learned some interesting details about birds. Okay, you may be wondering why the hard pivot to birds. Hang with me here. Among the same species of birds, female species are often brown and dull in color, while the male species is often incredibly vibrant and full of color. And the vibrant colors of the male are designed really for two main purposes. Number one, to attract females, and number two, to intimidate predators. The female, on the other hand, often carries these kind of dull brown colors for the sake of camouflaging into the environment, which is necessary to avoid attracting danger to her or to her nest and to her young. Now, clearly, God changed the design scheme when it came to human males and human females and who was vibrant and attractive and who was dull and boring, but that's not the point right now. Even still, here's the deal. Even still, we human beings, we seem to have a choice about the feathers that we wear. We can become dull and invisible for the purposes of avoiding danger. And then we can then just kind of hide in the backdrop of life wherever we go. Or we can choose to take on color. We can choose to become more visible, more attractive to those around us for the sake of Jesus and for his kingdom here on earth. Jesus himself said to his followers 2,000 years ago, and he says, I think, to all of us here today, he says this: you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Mid-Current, we are the light of the world. That there is a light, and there is a life, and there is a pulse, and there is a heartbeat inside of you and me, and we cannot let it be hidden any longer. So let's be people, let's be a church that lets that light be seen. Let yourself be seen. Take a risk. Step out from your cloak of invisibility, the future of your heart and the future of your life and the future of your faith and the future of your family, even maybe even the future of the faith of the next generation, very well may depend on the risks we take and our willingness to step out and to let ourselves be seen in some area of our life that matters the most right now. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this day. There is so much to celebrate. Certainly the little ones who we bring forward to you, God, we can't wrap this day up without praying our huge prayers for them, for your blessing on them, God, as we dedicate them to you, not only for your care, but you know, for your service to the world, to the communities that we are a part of, God. But we also give you thanks for the things that you're doing in our lives as individuals, God. I trust that each of us here today, God, I trust that you have a plan for us. You have a path laid out for us. There's a path that you'd like to hold our feet to. And God, whatever that might be, I pray that you would lead us and that you would guide us. I pray that you would help us to see the divine moments that may be waiting for us, God, along the way. We don't want to let those moments pass us by. We don't want those moments to be missed. We want those moments to be maximized for you and for your sake and for the sake of the things that you're doing in our heart and in our lives, God. And so for any of those places where those divine moments are within reach, God, I pray that you would help us to be people who would learn to take risk for you. We people who would be willing to let ourselves be seen rather than to just fade into the backdrop of life, choosing safety and avoiding danger or risk wherever we might go. God, call us forward. Let us be seen. Let us take risks for you for the sake of the things that you have called us to do and for the sake of the people that I really believe you have created us to be. God, most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray all of these things here today. Amen. Hey, we are so glad that you could be with us today for what has been, for so many reasons, a really special day. We would absolutely love to have you back, whether you call Midcurrent Church home or whether this is your first time with us. We'd love to invite you back next week. We'll be right back here on site and online at 10:30 a.m. And we'll be continuing on in week number 4 of this series, Seizing Your Divine Moments. Thanks so much. God bless you. We'll see you again soon.